created with free version for non-commercial use.
Thank you for coming. I just want to thank Rev Smith for coming out. It's a schus for us to have him, and I want to say it's a slight mesiras nefesh on his part to come, because although on one side he loves being mezakeh rabbim and saying shum b'rabbim, but he's probably the biggest masman I know also. So it's not so easy for him to come mitzad zeh, but hopefully the Talmud Torah the rabbim is machmir to consistently come in the future. This is already more than a chazaka, so mitzvah Hashem, you should continue coming in good health, and yashakayach for coming. I want to mention just that there's someone who wrote up shiurim, the shiurim of Rav Smith, and put it in book form, and it's upstairs on the table. When you come out on the table, it's the $20 a sefer. It's a little cheaper than it is in the stores, if anyone's interested after the share. Shukar.
I'm trying to correct Rabbi Krauss. I don't use to correct the people that are smarter than me, but it wasn't the serious nefesh. This is Simchas HaNefesh that I very much enjoy being here. And, Rabbi Sentis. They sponsored the sefer, so I especially have shukar for them. I'm thinking a lot about the world that we live in, and probably the biggest Kiddush Hashem is the heightened awareness, or the revolution, I could say, that we've seen in Shmiras HaLoshen. There's been a world that spoke Lashon Hara incessantly without any guilt feeling, and today we are privileged to see with our own eyes people asking shilas about all forms of Lashon Hara, whether it's in shidduchim, in business, and in interpersonal relationship. And it's, in my mind, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem to see such an ach shadar, such an improvement in a very significant way. And when Rabbi Krauss invited me to be here today, and I was thinking that maybe this is something that we should share with the Olam, a Thursday morning Thanksgiving, to see a full Olam coming to learn, is definitely a Kiddush Hashem. So we'll respond to Kiddush Hashem with a real Kiddush Hashem. And I want to thank Rabbi Krauss for inviting me, and his inspired leadership has brought the Passaic community to even greater heights. And it's certainly a schus to be part of this community. I want to discuss a rather aggressive agenda, because it really touches upon the host of shailas, whether it's the questions in business, in shidduchim, in chinuch habanim. I'll tell you an interesting shaila. In business, someone said his friend was about to go to a store and buy a sefer, a set of mishnayis it was, and he knows he could get the same mishnayis in a different store at a cheaper price. Could he tell his friend, don't buy there, buy it someplace else, you'll save money? He's hurting his friend. You see someone doesn't look well, can you basically say, what's wrong? And you're going to ask him, what's wrong? You're going to get an earful, what's wrong? You know, I'm upset, he bothered me, he hurt me. You're inviting Lashon Hara. But then again, you want to alleviate his pain. And a host of other such questions that really come up in daily living in many different expressions. So the first words that come to mind to anybody who has any knowledge in Shmiras HaLoshen is, Lashon Hara is wrong, I know that. But Lashon Hara L'Tayeles, if there's a benefit, then it's mutter. I'm saying he should buy the sefer in a different store so he'll save money. I'm trying to help him. Or I'm asking him what's wrong so he could unburden, he could let off steam, and he'll feel better. Or I tell my son, don't hang around with that boy because he's a bad influence. I'm doing it l'tayelis. So Lashon Hara is asa, I know that, but l'tayelis is mutter. Now that at first glance, I could almost say is absurd. You can't do an avera l'tayelis. The Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei Kuf Nun Zayin paskins that a person has to be willing to forfeit all his money and not to violate even one issa. And the Goyen brings on that mechaba, you have to be willing to forfeit all your money, not to violate even an Issa d'Rabbanan. So if you have to give up everything, not to be even alive, I ask you, and how about the lav of Lashon Hara? That is not just one lav, the Chafetz Chaim and the Hakdamah makes a cheshbon that there's a multitude of Yisurim, 17 lavim, 14 essen. The Maral in the Siv Lashon, Perek Tes, Leisim Tzechet Sherichu L'sapak Maichet Lashon. There is no Avera that Chazal spoke so harshly about like Lashon Hara. Bevadai Be'emes, Im Hayakol B'nei Adam Lavlerin, if the whole world would be scribes, LaYuchlu Lichtayv P'chisus Lashon, they would be unable, incapable of expressing the severity of Lashon Hara. So how could it be that you're allowed to talk Lashon Hara because you have a Toyeles? The Chafetz Chaim has a Shaila. If someone finally found a job, he had no job, he had no way to sustain his family, he finally finds a job. And after a few weeks, the boss calls him in and says, you know, I notice you're not competitive enough. If you don't start being more competitive, you'll have to find a different job. Now, Tmimistic people don't know, the word competitive is another word of saying Lashon Hara. We're in a business. You have to knock the competition. You have to be a little more aggressive. You have to get up and say why your product is good and their product is no good. So he's being told by his boss, talk Lashon Hara or else. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, in two places, he has to be willing to give up his job and not talk Lashon Hara. Why? Pashit. Kol Mamayna, you have to be willing to give up all your money. So now I ask you, what's the pshat in Lashon Hara L'Tayeles? How could that be mutter? You know, I could say, Ba'ozni Shamati, I heard such a shaila, was someone, and was not only was willing, but actually gave up his job not to talk Lashon Hara. So how could there be such a concept of Lashon Hara L'Tayeles? But then again, as we know, the Chafetz Chaim does speak about it. And what our job this morning is to try to define what that means, Lashon Hara L'Tayeles. You know, you say, I love talking Lashon Hara. So therefore it's Mutta Lashon Hara L'Tayeles. I gain. Reminds me of Pam once told me he was a young child. Remember this very vividly, and there was a boy in the class that lied repeatedly. He was like almost a chronic liar. So he wants to approach him and says, you know, you're not allowed to lie. So the boy said without flinching, he said, you know, it says in the Gemara that you're allowed to lie. If I say the truth, I'm not at peace with myself. So obviously, you know, with such a warped, muddled mind, you could say Lashon Hara L'Tayeles is I enjoy talking, but it obviously doesn't mean that. So what is Lashon Hara L'Tayeles and how to apply it to the myriad of shout that we have? So what's fascinating, maybe inspiring is a better word, what's inspiring is that the Chafetz Chaim is the one that coined this phrase Lashon Hara L'Tayeles. Lashon Hara L'Tayeles is not a Gemara, it's not a Shulchan Aruch. The Chafetz Chaim developed this heter. And evidently he felt somewhat apologetic. And he explains, says, even though I know it's a Chiddush, that Lashon Hara L'Tayeles is Mutta, but I have to prove it why it's Mutta. Now this is something, as I said, is inspiring, because people erroneously think that the Chafetz Chaim was obsessed with Lashon Hara and everything is Asa, and this is Asa, and that's Asa. There could be nothing further than the truth. When you learn the Chafetz Chaim's Heilige Sefa, you see he's more makel than machmir. The Chafetz Chaim was not a machmir, he was a mavakesh emes. He looked for the truth, he penetrated the depths of a sugya to come to the truth. And if it's true that Yolada took Lashon Hara, then he said it's a mitzvah. And this, I think, is a prime example of that reality. The Chafetz Chaim, of all people, was the one that was Mechadish Lashon Hara L'Tayeles, and he wrote his Sefer with that reality in mind. The Chafetz Chaim discusses the following question. A person is about to hire a worker, a cash register, someone that works at the cash register, and you know that that worker is dishonest. He has a minig, you know, he takes 20% money for Maisa. He pockets it. But no one knows about it. No one suspects him from stealing. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you're mechuyev to go over to his employer. Even though he didn't ask you, you have to give unsolicited advice. Say, sir, do not hire this person. He's a ganav. How could that be? So the Chafetz Chaim, again, proves everything conclusively. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yomi, he learned it not long ago, in Daf Ayin Gimel, Minayin l'roya chaveray shu tovei abanar, his friend is drowning. I list him boim alav, or he's being attacked by bandits. Shechayv latziloi, you have to get up, be proactive, and save the other person. Talmud loima leisamid al damriyach. Don't stand by idly when your friend is in danger. This is the mitzvah of, I guess, if you can, join Hatzalah and save lives. The Chavetz Chaim wonders, when someone is drowning, obviously it's life and death. But listim boyim olav, bandits came, could be interpreted two ways. Either listim bezuyin, money or your life, his life is in danger, or it could be a petty larceny. It could be someone that's stealing money, but there's no danger to life. Are you mechuyev to save someone's money if there's no at all remote danger to human lives? How do you learn the Gemara? So the Chavetz Chaim proves it from a Rambam, like everything, he proves it conclusively, that you have to save someone's life and his money. He has, from here we see, Leisamoid al dam re'echa means, don't stand by idly when your friend is about to incur a financial loss. And he has a second raya, famous Gemara in Bava Basra. If someone occupying my field, shalei kedin, I have to get up and be meicha, I have to protest. And what's the assumption? Chavrach, chavri islay, my friend will tell his friend, and his friend, what's going on here? People are going to talk lashon hara, my friend to your friend to your friend. What happened to lashon hara? Must be that if you're doing saying lashon hara to save someone's money, there's no issa. Now I would just add, but how do you read the pasuk? Loisamoid al dam reyecha. The answer for Tamid Echam is very simple. Damim tarti mashma. Damim could mean life, blood, and damim can mean money. That's pashit. Damim, you have it in the Gemara all over as money. Zok the Chafetz Chaim. So we see from two Gemaras that you are obligated to save someone's money. Zok the Chafetz Chaim, if that's the case, when someone's about to hire a worker that's going to cheat, he's going to lose money. You're mechuyev to stop him. How do you do that? By giving unsolicited advice and saying, sir, don't hire him, he's a ganef. And the Chavetz Chaim explains, lashon hara, by definition, is destructive talk, damaging talk. But if your motivation and your objective is to save someone from damage, that is constructive talk, and that is not damaging talk. Now, I saw one story of Yerucham in his Shmuzin. He says he learned a lesson from a doctor. He once must have had high blood pressure, and he went to the doctor. The doctor says, you know, you have to cut down on coffee. And coffee, especially in those days, was an integral part of a person's diet. But the doctor says, you know, don't worry. They just invented something called decaffeinated coffee, where they take out all the caffeine from coffee, and you can have the same taste without the danger of caffeine. So you could drink your coffee, but make sure it's decaffeinated. So Rabbi Yochim, whose mind was always fertile and always probing, he says, I learned something amazing. It's not the coffee that's the problem, it's the caffeine. So he says, when you do anything Avodas Hashem, the act itself is not the deciding factor. It's the intention. It's the kavana. The caffeine is the poison. So I was thinking, it's unbelievable. That's mamish our sugya. Lashon hara is the worst avera. But if your intention, if your kavana is to save someone for money, that's not only it's not lashon hara, but it's a fulfillment of a mitzvah deraisa of a chiyav loisamoid al dam reyecha. The caffeine, the kavana, is the deciding factor. And if you want to see this, I found after Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Ha'oris, it's in an obscure place, but in Simon Ayin, he says everything in Binat Machaver especially depends on your intention. And he gives a few examples. You're not allowed to hate someone, but you have to hate a Russia. You're not allowed to hit someone, but there's a mitzvah to hit a child, at least till America was invented. He says, but lashon hara, in certain cases is mutter. So Rabbi is saying, this is the point I want to bring out. Lashon hara is never mutter. But when something is lashon hara l'tayeles, it's no longer classified as lashon hara, and now it's an obligation of leisamayit al dam reyach. You have to get up and say lashon hara. And I'll tell you something that's absolutely fascinating. Did you ever wonder where this pasuk, this crucial pasuk of leisamayit al dam reyach, says in the Torah? I'll tell you, it's the same pasuk, the exact same pasuk of leiseilich rachel b'amecha. Leiseilich rachel b'amecha, part one, leisamayit al dam reyach. Says the Archaim Makaj in that pasuk, and I saw the Altaf and Kelim has the same observation, the Torah's juxtaposition of these two concepts is the challenge of Lashon Hara versus Lashon Hara L'Tayelas. When someone is asked for information about another person, he is now facing a challenge. What is my mission? Am I obligated, L'Seilich Rachel V'Amecha, don't succumb to the temptation of Lashon Hara? Or am I fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa, a chiyav of leisamayit al dam reyecha? And when he has to give negative information, if he's that type of person, he'll say, hinei nimuchun emezumah l'kayim mitzvah deraisa of leisamayit al dam reyecha. And then I realized what we call lashon hara l'tayeles is a misnomer. It's inaccurate. Because if indeed you're mechuyav talk lashon hara, it's not lashon hara l'tayeles. It's a mitzvah leisamayit al dam reyecha. But I guess, in absence of a better term, what are we going to call it? Lashon tov l'tayeles? I mean, you're saying this man's a ganef, or he's not a good shidduch. So it has become referred to as lashon hara l'tayeles, but it's inaccurate. No one should feel guilty that he's saying lashon hara. When there's an obligation to talk, that's the fulfillment of a mitzvah deraisa of leisamayit al dam reyecha. So basically, a person's walking a tightrope. On one side, leiseilich, on one side, leisamayit, and he has to decide what to do. One question, of course, remains, and that's really the crux of the issue for this morning. We ask the question. The boss tells you, start talking lashon hara, or you're out. Why isn't that lashon hara l'tayeles? I have to save my job. I have to feed my family. Why is it us to talk lashon hara? I have to give up my job for it. Why is it that you have to give kama moine? What about this cheshbon? So you think about it, the deciding fact is very, very simple. Lashon hara l'tayeles does not mean I benefit. If someone says, I'll give you $1,000, tell me a good, juicy piece of lashon hara. You're not allowed to do that, right? You know when lashon hara l'tayeles is muta? When there's a bad guy, I'll use that term, and a good guy. There's a roidiv, and there's a nirdiv. There's a troublemaker, and there's an innocent party. For example, someone's hiring a worker, and he's a crook. So the worker is a crook. He's the ganef. Your friend is the innocent victim. He's the nirdif. He's the good guy. You have to save the good person from the bad person. You have to save the nirdif from the roidif. And as we'll see today, every case of Lashon Hara L'Tayeles, there's a roidif and a nirdif. Now the word roidif might have a harsh connotation. But Talmid Chacham, like you know, that you could have a Uba b'mei imoy, you could have a woman that's expecting, and the innocent Uba, the unborn embryo, is considered a roidif. Doesn't mean a person with malicious intent, like an Esav running after his Yaakov with a 10-inch blade. Roidif is a person that's causing trouble. When there's a roidif and there's a nirdif, the choice is clear. You have to protect the rights of the innocent person. But here's the case. The boss tells his worker, talk lashon hara about our competition or else you lose your job. The competition are innocent people. They didn't do anything wrong. You want to save a job at the expense of the other person? My chazi de dami de dachsu mektvei. You want to make $1,000 so you say lashon hara to yellas, I'll talk lashon hara. Chas v'shalom. When there's an identifiable troublemaker, a roidiv, then there's a heta of lashon hara l'tayeles. Now, I know this might sound a little vague, but now we're going to spend the remaining time to talk shailus and tshuvas l'maisa, and hopefully you see how clear it is, okay? First and foremost is the most common, probably one of the most common questions is you're asked information either for a shidduch or for a person that's applying for a job, So, of course, we can't go through all the cases, but basically, if you know what the Chafetz Chaim calls a chasar and atzum, there is real problems, someone has a real serious problem, not only you're allowed to disclose that information, but you're obligated to even volunteer that information. For example, someone has a terminal illness. I mean, the person discussed this. And he's in denial, and he's about to get engaged to a girl. His lifespan is very short. The doctors don't give him much hope. So you have to go and say, don't make the shidduch. This boy is dangerous. He's not well. Whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally. Now, of course, how to define the word chasar and atzum? It's very subjective. But the Chafetz Chaim says if there's problems with his Yiddishkeit, they're not as good as they seem. Health problems, serious health problems. You got to be careful. That's a raidif. Again, the person didn't decide to get sick, but at the end of the day, this person is dangerous to the prospective shidduch. And certainly, when you're asked, tell me about the person, you have a mitzvah to give all pertinent information. Now, I'll tell you something interesting because it's on my mind. I deal with people. So many people suffer because people don't know this halacha. That now the call of the hour is loisamayt al dam reyecha. Give necessary information. Now you don't have to embellish it and add to it. But someone asks you and he wants to know, how could you not say something? You know, I have a friend, a Zayin Gesund. He was married for about 4 hours. I mean, until he finally got separated, it was like 11 days, and until he got to get, it was a harrowing experience. The girl that he married had severe emotional problems, and nobody told him. The girl's cousin read the shidduch, who was his best friend, and didn't tell him. Because you don't want to ruin a good shidduch, do you? So you ruin a good life? I'll tell you something amazing. I was zeichner Rav Pam Zichrono Livracha. Rav Pam was the best source of information for shidduchim. He knew the halachas. He felt you have to talk, and he talked. Rav Segel from Manchester, his son told me his father was the best source of information when it came to shidduchim. It's amazing. These two people were the very embodiment. They were the essence of Shmiras HaLashon and Al Adar. And they were the best source of information. You know why? Because if you're an Elachiyid, you do what's right. You're a soldier. You march to Leiselach Rachel Bamecha, and sometimes you have to march to the tune of Leisamet Adam Riecha. There's a sefer written by it's called Pischei Tshuva, not the conventional Pischei Tshuva on the page. It was an independent sefer written by Yisrael Issel and Rav in Vilna. Tuf Reish Lamed Hey was printed. And he writes, this is in Simon Kuf Nun Vav. He says, all the Svarim speak about Lashon Hara, and I want to be Marish HaOilam about the importance of Lashon Hara L'Toyelas. I didn't say those words, but about talking when you have to talk. You could save people from hiring workers that it's disastrous. You could save shidduchim that shouldn't have happened. Now, of course, you have to know when you're allowed to, when you're not allowed to. And, of course, there are abonim that are very qualified. There are hotlines to answer your questions. But to take this wrong approach that I can't ruin a shidduch, that's keneged halacha. Now the chiyuv of leisamayt al dam reyecha. You see a child or a talmid who has a friend who's a very bad influence. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is talking about. And the Chafetz Chaim says you have to say, tell your child or your friend, you know, this boy is not good for you, stay away from him. Now the Chafetz Chaim, being the practical person that he was, the Chafetz Chaim added, but you have to be very careful. Because if you're going to tell your son, this boy is bad, and your son is all of 11 or 12 or 15 years old, he's going to think, you know, my father is talking Lashon Hara. Our whole life we were trained about Lashon Hara, and my father said, this boy is a bad boy. And again, in his immature mind, he might be right. So the eight says, tell your son, we don't talk Lashon Hara, we never do, but because he's harming you, I'm obligated to tell you that you stay away from him. Now, if he's mature enough, you could explain to him the lamdis, leisamet adam reyecha. If not, then just tell him that when something is detrimental to your ruchnias, I'm obligated. The Chafetz Chaim says this. You shouldn't be inconsistent in your devotion to Shmiras HaLashon. Of course, if there's a kashrus problem, and you know there's a problem, you're allowed to publicize that, when, of course, that's within reason. When there's a siruv, Rachmana Litzlan, of a get, and a person, someone told me, he woke up one morning, and, true story, went to shul, and in his front yard, someone had put one of these posters, you stick into someone's yard, so-and-so give a get. And like he became a proponent for someone giving a get. He didn't know the person from Adam. Someone came along and just stuck it into his front yard. So you have to know the story, but if Rabbanim are applying pressure to a certain individual to do what he has to do, whether it's a get or anything else, so that's part of our responsibility as a community to be behind the Rabbanim. It's not Lashon Hara. That's Leisamad Adam Reyecha. Question. You have a child, you have a Talmud, you have a friend that's really not the way he should be. And you want to inspire that friend, you could even be an adult friend, to really get his act together. And you want to say the following. You know that Rosh Yeshiva? I am his childhood friend. I know him since he was a kid. He was the biggest Vildechaya that you could imagine. He was uncontrollable. He was ADD and everything. I know. But look what he became. So there's hope for everybody. So let's try. You want to inspire your child Talmud friend. Say, you know, that Balabas, he finished Shas. I remember 10 years ago he couldn't read a line of Gemara. But he applied himself. You know, maybe you could do it. And your Kavan is 1,000% L'Shem Shemayim. Can you use as an example someone that made great changes in his life? So we'll say, well, I'm doing L'Shem Shemayim. I certainly don't mean to in any way talk bad about a Rosh Yeshiva. But think about what we said and you'll see it's not mutter. You want to help your friend at the expense of the Rosh Yeshiva's esteem and his image? The Rosh Yeshiva didn't do anything wrong. He's not a roidiv. That other balabas that was a late bloomer, he didn't do anything wrong. Either of them, he became good. And that's probably why, and Chavetz Chaim used this raya, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Nun Ches, if someone's about tshuva, don't say, oh, you remember his past? You know what he did when he was young? That's Lashon Hara. It's an Az Devar. Now, personally, I never understood this halacha until I heard something Ramat Azio said, but to saying someone's a Baal Tshuva, I think is the greatest honor, the greatest title that a person could receive. You know, people, Baal Tshuva change their lives at 30, 40, 50 years old, total changes, you know, people craft. I can't stop, you know, you can't teach an old me new tricks. Look at the Baal Tshuva. He changed his entire lifestyle. You can't change one thing. Look at him. He changed everything. His every word Torah, his every word tefillah, magas akise akava gedayla tshuva, shemagas akise akava, and you can't change? So what does it mean that you can't say someone's a Baal Tshuva? I mean, I wish you say I'm a Baal Tshuva, but it's not true. I haven't done tshuva yet, but I'm trying. But what's wrong? So Matisyo said the same kash you could ask her. About speaking about a ger, saying someone's a ger. Chavetz Chaim said, that's Lashon Hara. The Rambam speaks so highly about Geirim. So Ramat Yo says a very posh techeshbin. The truth is, it's the greatest title, the greatest covet, to be a Baal Tshuva. To be a Geir, leave over everything. But people have this warped mentality that there's something wrong. But if someone will appreciate that, then Adrab, that's very good. And he said, if you look in the Gemara, Sechor Masech HaRishonim doesn't mean someone was born to a totally irreligious family and made a change. It means he was a Shana Upirish. He learned and went off to Derech. Ah, that was his own Bechira. That's Taka Chasarin. But if someone was born to a totally assimilated family, he lived in a city that they hadn't seen Yiddishkeit in 30 years, and he becomes from, that's a wonderful title. So it really depends how people perceive it. And indeed, that's why I think it's Pashit. Let's say you have a Baal Tshuva or a person that was a late bloomer and talks about his past, and he tries to inspire others with his own experiences, and he understands that it's not Lashon Hara, he doesn't feel offended, then you tackle out a talk about people's past. And that would explain why sometimes there are people that are very famous about having a dark past, but you're not allowed to talk about it, because they themselves have no problem when this is common knowledge. A peculiar question is, the Torah says, don't talk Lashon Hara. And what is the example? Remember what happened to Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara and she was punished. So you're using as an example to inspire about Lashon Hara that Miriam did something wrong. Frek de Ramban is the end of Kiseitse, how does the Torah speak about someone's dark past It's Lashon Hara. And the Ramban and the Altaf and Kelma, one of the Shmuzin, Mubaricha, says, but really there's no Issa Lashon Hara on a deceased person. It's only a Chayim, not to Lashon Hara, but when it's done, L'tayelas, and it's a schus for the person, it's the greatest schus for Miriam, that she remains for generations the inspiration of Lashon Hara, that wouldn't be Lashon Hara. Question. Someone tells you, I'm very upset, he didn't invite me to his chasana. Today most people are upset when they do invite him to the chasana. But anyhow, I'm upset. How do you respond? Are you allowed to say something? Or, a boy was seeing a girl, and it was going great, he's already hearing the engagement bells, and the girl dropped him, last moment. Can you tell the boy, you know something? You're not missing much, he wasn't as good as you think. Your intention is, l'shem shamayim, to try to alleviate his suffering. So one thing is, the Sefer Chassidim in Simen Samach Dalid says sometimes you should listen when someone is venting and talking Lashon Hara if you have a sympathetic ear. Because you'll listen and you'll say, he didn't invite you to Chasana? First of all, do you know that, you know, the postal service is not that accurate? I once got back a return from one of my children's Chasana. I think they had two children already. Well, no, it must have been certainly 6 months after the wedding. We got back, lack of wrong address. We wake up now. So if you have the right attitude to sort of, you know, dispel the anger, even though he's talking Lashon Hara, the Sefer Chassidim and Simen Samach Dalet says it's a good idea. Because if you don't listen, he'll get someone that's going to just, you know, fan the fire and complicate matters. So again, if you listen with a sympathetic ear, the Chafetz Chaim writes to the Farish, if you mischaven lahashkit hamariva, that's Lashon Hara l'te'elas and his mut. The Chafetz Chaim writes that if someone's involved in machlaikis, and you could listen again with a sensitive ear and try to stop the machlaikis, even though you're going to hear an ear full of Lashon Hara, that's Lashon Hara l'te'elas, especially when it comes to averis of machlaikis. The Chafetz Chaim writes, you have to try to be mefarsim bali machloikis because they're making a chil Hashem. Another question, which is important to mention, a person is struggling with their child. They have a wonderful family, but there's always one, you know, the black sheep in the family, quote unquote. And it's really taking its toll. They feel totally destroyed. Everybody's so good. And, you know, when you have one out of many, it sometimes is even more dramatic. So you want to tell them, you know, I know what you're going through. I know someone, you say, Pliny has this, and Almighty has this. You start mentioning people that everybody has a difficult child. Now there, your intention is Hashem Shemayim, and it's Taka Lashon Hara L'Tayeles, but there's no Heta to start mentioning names. Because the other family, they're not guilty. They didn't do anything wrong. They're not part of this scheme. They're not Raidif. So that, there's a simple solution. You don't have to say, I know Pliny, and say his name, and Almoini. You could say, you should know, this problem is a Tzara D'Rabim. Every family has their issues. Why do you have to say, it's this and that, and names of families? Just give a general attitude that every family has a problem with child. So you have conveyed the same comforting, reassuring message without breaching Hilchas Lashon Hara. There wouldn't be a justification to start enumerating names of people because that's really Lashon Hara of a family that doesn't deserve to be spoken about. A boy meets the girl and it looks great and the girl says no and the boy is devastated. So it's almost human instinct to say, tell the boy, you know, you're not missing much. I know this. So somebody says, so why don't you tell me till now? Which is a good question. But let's say that wasn't the issue. Can I just say the whole shit, the girl was not so good, and then the father's not so good, and the shver, oh, he's a real shver. So, certainly not good. You know, he lives up to his name 110%. But think about it. Again, there's no heta. Because the girl's not a roidiv for stopping the shidduch. She didn't do anything wrong. You want to make him feel good, So he said, okay, come over. Let me hurt you to hurt him, to help him. Why are you hurting her to help him? My chazi dami dida sumak tvei. Now here is a very practical etzem. And again, I always try to be practical. You tell him something that Rapam Zechanu Baruchu once told us, and it's good to hear this, it's good to have in your back burner, sometimes if it's something to be the front burner ready, but to have in your repertoire of chizik that you have to give people. Remember he spoke about in Parashas Balak that the Bilam is going in this is going to be his debut, his time of fame, he's going to make it big, he's going to curse Klal Yisrael, and there it is, a malach in front of him stopping him. The Sitnei Baderach, the malach is stopping him from achieving the crown of his career to curse Klal Yisrael. And Rashi says, malach shel rachamim, an angel of mercy. Rachamim? He's going to make the biggest thing of his career. He's going to make money and fame. And the malach is stopping him, malach shel rachamim. But any sane person understands. Had he cursed Klal Yisrael, he would be destroyed. It looked in, this is the worst happening in his life. But this was a malach shel rachamim. We are very, very nearsighted. We don't see too much ahead of us. And to him, it was the most destructive malach in the world. But Rashi knew better. That's a malach shel rachamim. And he said how many times he's seen. I think anybody who has children in Shidduchim age know how true this is. This is the Shidduch. It's mamish. You hear the bells. And it doesn't work out, and the person falls apart. And a few weeks or a few months later, the Baruch Hashem sends you the Basherta, and you say, thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for saving me, for watching me, for guiding me. And then you look in retrospect, it was a Malach Shel Rachamim. The girl said, no, that's the Malach Shel Rachamim. Do we know? Don't we all have experience similar to this? People are thankful that someone there, when they were going out 30, 40 years ago, that the girl said no. So instead of breaching Hilchos Lashon Hara, be mechazik the amuna that the Baruch Shalom is the ultimate mezavik zivugim, and let him kaviyachol do what he has to do. Question: the yeshiva or the shul has a policy. Let's say for girls, you're not supposed to wear this type of clothing, or the shul has a policy, you're not supposed to have this type of technology. Whatever it is, you could apply it lamaisa, and you tell your child you can't wear this dress because the school policy says no. Yeah, but Chani does it, and she does it, and then from Erlecha people. Now, you as a father, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, Chani's father is not so Erlecha. He's a very Erlecha person. What are you going to do now? So this, indeed, is where there's a het of Lashon Hara L'Tayelis. Because I don't know Chani, I don't know her father, but if the school says no, and the father just decides that he's smarter than the school, and smarter than the policy, smarter than the Rav, then he's a Raidif. He's a very dangerous Raidif, I would tell you. He's trying to undermine Das Torah, and he's trying to undermine Takonas that killers make. He might be smarter than you, but he's not more Elach than you. You know a rule is a rule, and he decides that he knows better. So it's not just a subtle raidif, but it's a very dangerous raidif, because he could undermine the whole hatzlacha of Yiddishkeit that asei lecha rav and follow das Torah. So believe it or not, in this case, you could say it in the most diplomatic way. You tell your child, listen, I don't know what they do, but in our house, we follow what the rav says, what the principal says, and that's it. It's not negotiable. If that works, Baruch Hashem, you're lucky. If it doesn't work, but be careful. Because you tell your child that they are wrong, within 60 seconds, they're going to know that. You know, my father, you said your father doesn't know what he's doing. So I'm better than you. I got to be careful. You have to say it in a way. You say, listen, I don't know what's doing there. First of all, this is between me and you, and don't tell your friend anything about this. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what the cheshbon is, but if you don't listen to the Rav, you're wrong. In our house, you're wrong. And what they do is totally not relevant to what we do. If they have a cheshbon, I don't know. But if not to listen to what the rules are, in my mind, is wrong, and we don't do things that are wrong. If you have to resort to that, that would be a heter. There's something called a support group, which is growing in popularity that people get together and they discuss common problems, whether it's marriage, children, etc., etc. So that's a sticky issue because sometimes people take that as a heta that everybody sits down and talks bad about their husband. It's a good thing there are no men there, no? Everybody's talking about that. So what's the heta? Now, you want to give advice? That's fine. You want to use your own personal experience because, again, they're all sharing a common problem and they have the ins and outs. So that's wonderful. You know, ain't chacham kabbalah nesayin. But everybody should sit down and take turns, you know, talking about their husband. They probably wait online, you know. It just seems counterproductive. It just seems wrong. Now, if the husband is abusive, you know, so that's not the forum to discuss that. So I saw him this in Karelis, he has a safe on Shmiras Halashen. Taka says that this should not be a heta. Again, to talk without details, give over advice, even though it's personal experience, but not to start pinpointing wrongdoings of one spouse. You see someone is being mistreated. Now, it could be a worker that's being mistreated by the boss, he's not paying him enough, whatever, he's making work harder than he should. Or in a marriage, and you push it, you feel you're a very innocent, to me, mystical person, and you think this is wrong. I'm not talking about abusive, that's something much serious, but I'm saying a person is not being treated properly. Can you say, you should know that your boss is not paying you enough, he's making you work more than you're obligated to, this might be a question, but seriously, before, you know, and again, you really have nothing against the boss, you don't even know the boss, but you look at your friend and he's working extra hours and all this, it just doesn't make sense. So the Chafetz Chaim says that in that case, if your intention is Lashem Shamayim, you're allowed to go over and say nicely, you should know, you have a right to ask for a raise, or ask for overpay, or overtime, whatever it is, you know, do things fairly. But because this person, in a certain sense, is an Erdaf. But the Chafetz Chaim said you have to be careful. Because sometimes this individual that's being taken advantage of is very timid. And he's not going to really act upon your advice. He's going to listen, agree, get more angry, but not put it into practicality. He's not going to do anything with it. So what you did, you just increased his anger with no tayalas. Now, what probably is a better course of action, if you're enough of a caring yid, don't go to your friend. Find out the boss's number. You don't have to know him to call him and say, you know, I have this friend of mine, and the way it seems that you're not treating him fairly. That would be a chesed with no repercussions. You're not getting him involved. It's not a question, will he take action or not? But if you feel that the better course of action, he should speak for himself, because the boss say, what gives you a right? Get out and hang up on you. Then you have a right to tell the person, but you have to encourage him and maybe guide him how to do it. But it will just listen and use nothing of the information that just Lashon Hara without a tailus. An interesting question, which is a very difficult question because it's also a Shalom Bayis issue, is you see someone looks very unhappy. Okay? You come home from work and your wife looks very upset. And you want to pop the question that Yosef did thousands of years ago, Madua Pnechem Royim Hayoim. But they're not going to tell you I had a bad dream. It's something like a bad neighbor, or a bad child, or a bad boss. But Bekitza, you're inviting Lashon Hara very clearly. I mean, you're saying, what's bothering you? Oh, just sit down, and I'll tell you exactly what's bothering me. Is there a hetzah to invite Lashon Hara? Is there a heta on the person that's asked this question to respond? You want to know? I'll tell you. Now, if you could help, as we said in the previous scenario, you could listen and say, I'm going to talk to your boss. I'm going to get involved. Then it's Lashon Hara Tayalus. It's Mutter. The Chafetz Chaim said that's Beferish. But I'm talking about in a distinct group of questions that you know from the start, you cannot help the situation. It's a chronic problem. Ask someone's mother-in-law, what's your problem? You, right? You can't change that. So what do you do then? The mother-in-law, daughter-in-law have a constant tension. And you meet the mother-in-law, and say, what's your problem? She's going to tell you about the daughter-in-law that you heard this 20 times, and you can't improve the situation. So this is what we call in English venting, letting off steam. And basically, is this a code word for Lashon Hara? That's what you're doing. You're inviting someone to vent. So here the Chafetz Chaim, as I told you earlier, the Chafetz Chaim was not a machmir, he was a mavakish emes. Here he writes, Efsha, that if you're Kavona, when you ask him, Madua Pneichim Royim, what's your problem? Is Lahafig is Dagosei Meliboy? If you want to alleviate his suffering, because when he vents, when he lets off steam, he feels a certain temporary comfort, a temporary relief, it's Mutter. You're allowed to ask him, and he's allowed to respond, and he mentions a Gemara. In Yuma Dafayin Hei, Da'oga Balevish Yaschena, and Gemara Dash, Yasichena Lacherim, that when someone has a worry, he should talk it over. So obviously the Chafetz Chaim understood from this Gemara that when someone has a problem and he talks it out, it's therapeutic, it's healing. So if the Gemara seems to substantiate that human emotion that when you let off steam, you feel better, so by you inviting that therapy, so to speak, it's Lashon Hara Tiyelis and it's Mutter. Azoi, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says. He writes a Lashon Efsher, but Kibalti Mirabai say, Al-Sun Tarpam told me this, and her footnote also said this, that it's Lalach, it's Mutter, especially with a spouse. The big question is, what's the Raya from the Gemara in Yuma? In Yuma, Ayin Hayim Bebeis Rashi says, he's Pachad, he's Doyig on a Hefsid. He's worried about the stock market, he's worried about his health, about his child Shidduch, and by asking what's wrong, he's letting out his worry. He's not talking Lashon Hara about the stock market, not talking Lashon Hara about anybody if he has a problem with his health, it's not Lashon Hara. His child's lack of Shidduch is not Lashon Hara. Rashi clearly is talking about someone has a worry. And Rashi says, Shema Yasi'uhu Eitza. You might tell him, you know, maybe you should invest in a different stock or whatever you might advise him. But Rashi is explaining to Gemara that there's a problem that's not Lashon Hara. Someone is not feeling well, he's worried. And there's a solution by advising him. But who says when you're going to hear an earful of Lashon Hara that you can't at all improve the situation? Where do we find that to be Mutter? And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes LeYaakov and Kufnun Bavon Arachayim has another problem. And he says the word venting, and he doesn't say that word, but he says the concept of, you know, just letting out steam is Avodah Zarah. This is a typical Rabbi Yaakov's brilliance. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Tav Kuvav, HaMeshava, Kelem, Bechamosei, Kilu Oivet Avodah Zarah. And Rashi explains, if a person is angry and he does something that has results, okay, that's acceptable. But just he just bangs on the table or breaks a window. So that's Avodah Zarah. You're out of control. The Baruch Shem Fiat, what are you doing? Venting, Rabbi Yaakov says, if there's no ultimate goal, is like just out of control. You're spinning out of control. That's Avodah Zarah. Why is that Mutter? But Lamaisa, Rapam told me that especially with a wife that looks upset and she has no one else to turn to, that's part of your obligation to say what's wrong. And with his very sensitive intuition, he based it on the chinuch. The chinuch in Simon Samach Hei says, why there is special severity of tormenting an almana or a yasim? Because human beings have a certain shoulder to cry on. Ben kaiva la'aviv, isha la'vayla, almana. Who does almana turn to cry on? So Rambam said, look at the words, ben kaiva la'aviv and isha la'vayla. So apparently, that's part of a human relationship, that a wife cries her heart out to her husband. Now, of course, yeah, he said, you have to be very careful not to make this into a habit. And he told me also, sometimes be not just a sympathetic listener, but try to improve the situation. And he gave me an example. He said his mother was the Rebbetzin of the city, a little shtetl, and someone came to her and said, you know, I'm very upset. My shver promised me a nadin, and he's not coming, he's not giving me money. If he wouldn't have promised me, it wouldn't bother me, but he promised and he doesn't keep his word. My mother says, Adarabba. I don't know if she said the word Adarabba, but that was her point. He said, Adarabba. He says, if he didn't promise, that means he doesn't hold of you. Then you should be upset. but he promised you he really holds of you. But he can't do it? Okay, people don't have money. But he really holds of you. And he says, you know something? You're right. And he walked out comforted. A person that has a sympathetic ear could do these things. But again, it's not a blanket heta that Lashon Hara can go flow forth from husband to wife. I once said this in a shiur. Someone says, but can I share my life with my husband? I says, you want to share your life, not your Gehenim, right? The Alter says if someone talks to his son Lashon Hara, it's like he's feeding him hot coals. So it's a delicate balance. It's a sort of a balancing act, you know, that you have to make. But one thing I will say, I saw Rav Hutner, Zichrono Livracha, is also quoted as saying that's part of the ksuba, especially women to men. Men should not be venting to women. They should get over it. But women have more of a weakness that they need someone to talk to. What?
No, men should talk to their woman.
Yeah, but not all problems, because they're usually going to make it worse. That's they're going to... No? Okay. There you have a yeshami lusma. But it has to end up working at the end of the day. Now, usually when you deal with emotions as opposed to facts, it sometimes makes the problem worse. Now, one thing I will say, when there's a problem that's not getting better, it's probably better to work on accepting the problem. Because, you know, every day, you know, again, let's say a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship. So every day there's another thing that bothers the mother-in-law. So why just keep on just patching it up? Say, listen, this is what the person is. Let's get on with our lives. Let's accept the problem. Let's accept the situation. Accept the daughter-in-law and just go on. It's very hard constantly venting about a problem that seems to be a chronic problem. It's much better to accept it and live with it as it is. Question, and this is a tricky question, and I want to make the question very clear. Someone tells you, I have my day off today, I'm going to the Sfarim store, I'm buying a set of Mishnayos for $200. Okay? The real price is, in fact, $200. Okay? Some stores charge $220, but this $200 is a fair price. You happen to know, on the other end of town, there's a store having a wild sale, a big promotional, the same set of Mishnayos for $160. But I'm talking in a specific case. It's not that the $200 is overpriced, it's the fair price. The $160 is a wild, temporary sale. And your friend says, okay, I'm going now, I'll see you, so long, and he starts going towards his car. Can you say, no, go the other store, you'll save $40. Now, if the friend asks you, I want to buy a set of Mishnayos, do you know the best deal I get in town for the Mishnayos? You're obligated to tell him, go to the other store. That's the mitzvah of good advice. If naive, I see the mission, you can't mislead someone. But it's not the case. I'm talking about a specific case. He did not ask you. He's getting a fair price. He can get a better price. Are you allowed to, again, give unsolicited advice? Say, don't go to that store. Go to this store. You'll save $40. So we are right away attracted by the Lashon Hara Teyelis aspect. I'm saving my friend $40. Right? Why can I do that? But it seems in the Chafetz Chaim this is awesome. Because the Chafetz Chaim has the following scenario, where a store is overcharging, overpricing, but it's not more than a shtur, it's not more than a sixth. With halacha is that it's mekach kayim, it's not geneva, but it's awesome. Can you tell a person, never shop by that store because they overpriced? If they charge more than a sixth, that's geneva, you have to say, you're not allowed to go to that store. But since less than shtus mekhoi kayam, the sale is valid, then you should be quiet. Or maybe since the chatchila, you shouldn't charge more than less than a sixth extra. It's wrong, you'll have to say something. That's what the Chafetz Chaim has, a shayla and a sefer. So many of the Heintige Poiskim infer from this, and let's say it's the fair price. Not overpriced, the fair price. You want to save your friend and you make the storekeeper lose, you're not allowed to say anything. Now this is, again, a very fine point, but a very understandable point. You are now about to juggle two lives. You want to save your friend $40, okay? But you're going to lose make the innocent storekeeper that's selling for a fair price, $200, you make him lose a deal. And his profit might be close to that. So why are you deciding he's better than him? My chadri dami d'dachsa m'ktvei. And that's why the place can say, in that case, shebal ta'asa adif. You want to harm the innocent storekeeper to save your friend? Who said that's correct? If he asked you, fine. But to take away a customer from a storekeeper does not seem to be the right approach. Okay, so that could be Mibsarcha al Tesalim. Some say by a closer relative, you have more of an obligation, that's good. But it has to be understood within a context. It's because, it's not that you're allowed to do wrong things for relatives, because the chiyuv to think of a relative. I don't know. I'm leaving that to you. Yeah, you're right. But that's a good question. But I'm talking about the most stores. There are some stores that are known that have a little extra price. They get better service, whatever it is. Now, let me. I want to finish. Let me have to finish this. Two more points. If a person is accused of doing something wrong, can he exonerate himself by blaming, by implicating someone else? So this is, again, where you see the beauty of our sugya. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, you learned at that beginning of Sanhedrin, that Gemara. The Gemara has stories of number of Tanoim, Amoraim, that someone did something wrong and they actually accepted the blame. They took the blame on themselves to protect the identity of the not so innocent. Gemara says that they said, I ate it, I did wrong. And the Chafetz Chaim says it seems to be a midas chasidus to take the blame even if you did nothing wrong. But I will say, a typical scenario where there is a wrongdoing, you're not mechuyev to take the blame. And a case where I think is important to mention, the boss tells the secretary, I need this on my desk Monday morning. Okay? So the secretary did the work and gave it to someone to give to the boss, and it ended up on the boss's desk. And Monday afternoon, the boss is upset, he's fuming, what happened? And he asked the secretary, where's the job? Where's the work that I asked you to do? Now, there's a guilty party, the person that was negligent. So even though you shouldn't say who did it, it's enough to say, I'm sorry, I gave him the work on Friday, something along the road got lost, but I did my work. That you're allowed to say. Chafetz Chaim says, and maybe Midas Chasidus, even in that case, to accept the blame. But basically, the point is that there's a Chafetz Chaim, there's a Halacha, there's a Das Torah, there are Gemaras that are guiding forces in all of what we do. And let me just leave you with one more. I think it's a beautiful insight into the whole sugya that the question which happens all in chinuch all the time and could be in chinuch habanim as well, someone did something wrong and let's talk about a Rebbe, a principal, cannot find out who did the wrong thing. Can a Rebbe give, or a principal give a child, a Talmud, an ultimatum, tell me who did it or else? I'll punish you, whatever the punishment, which will be enough of a deterrent to get the person to talk. So at first glance, this doesn't sound right. You're training a child to talk Lashon Hara. No, better yet, you are compelling a child to talk Lashon Hara. Tell me who did this and this or else. Is that a right chinuch? You know, it's unbelievable. The Chafetz Chaim quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Yud Aleph. That Yidden are fighting a war against Ai, and they were losing, and they weren't supposed to lose. And Moshe, Yeshua realized that somebody did something wrong. And he turns to the Baruch Shalom, and he starts crying, he falls on his face, and he's davening. And the Moshe says, why are you falling on your face? Someone did something wrong. Find out who did it. So he asks the Baruch Shalom, who did it? Do you know what the Baruch Shalom response is? V'chidilta ani? Am I about Lashon Hara? You want me to talk Lashon Hara, Moshe? What's with you? Leichatel goyrolois. Go make a girl, you'll figure it out. And the Chafetz Chaim is shocked. The Ein Lecha Te'elis G'day L'Mizu. Moshe with the Rebbeinu Shalom to save Klal Yisrael from annihilation? Isn't that Te'elis? But if you could achieve the same results without talking Lashon Hara, go make girl. I don't want to talk Lashon Hara. That's what has to burn out in Neshama, this feeling of not talking Lashon Hara. The Chidil Te'ani. But to take a mechanech and compel a child to talk Lashon Hara, that's a very poor chinuch. Now again, it could be L'shem Shemayim, it could be Te'eles, but Rav Moshe says that's wrong to do. In the subsequent shuvah, Rav Moshe reinforces his position, and he says, you might be gaining by finding out who broke the rule, but you're losing more by the image that you just distorted. You're losing more by the unintended chinuch that you just gave. That my Rebbe told me to say Lashon Hara. I once heard this from a younger child. Says, my Rebbe forced me to say Lashon Hara. Now the emes is, Paiskim asked after Rav Moshe questioned that, what can you do if a child in yeshiva, an older boy especially, if he's ruining others, he's a real raidif. I know a story, I called up the person before I said this publicly, Rav Palm called him into his office and said, there's some boy did something wrong, I don't know who did it, I want you to tell me who did it. They did something more serious than just, breaking a window or, coming late to yeshiva. It's some very serious problems. And Rav Palm says, I want you to tell me. And the boy told him, and the next day three boys were expelled. That's because Rav Palm understood that these boys are dangerous. Rav Gifter once said, to expel a boy from a yeshiva is pikuach nefesh of the boy. But to keep him in the yeshiva is pikuach nefesh of the yeshiva. It's that balancing act. But to me, again, if you're a mechanach, you know what to do without me, and if you're not, it's not so negeya. But the message that Moshe gave is that children need a chinuch in Shmiras Haloshin. And to give over, albeit an unintended message, is doing more damage than good. And let me just close with a thought, I guess, that really encapsulates what I said today. I once spoke about Lashon Hara, and someone asked me, and I think he was pretty innocent about it, he goes, but what about Yeshivish Lashon Hara? I said, what? I said, when I was growing up, the word yeshivish was the greatest honor. There was a Lakewood then, it was much smaller, but a yeshiva mom was a great title. Today, when a car drives down the block, and it barely moves, and it makes noise, wakes up the whole neighborhood, you know what they say? A yeshivish car. What's that supposed to mean? Example of something that's, a yeshivish paint job, what's that mean? What's that mean? You're picking something that's inferior? Chas v'shal? But then I say, oh, I know what you mean. I know, I'll tell you yeshivish lashon hara. The Gemara says in Shabbos Av Tzadik Vav, Rabbi Akiva, the Heiliger Rabbi Akiva, the personification of Avos Yisrael, was learning together with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. They were learning the Parsha and Parsha Shlach of Mekoshesh Eitzim, which the Torah concealed who it was. And Rabbi Akiva, who the Gemara says in Menachos is that Moshe Rabbeinu felt pale in comparison to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was, the Goyin HaGoyinim says, I know who it was Slavchad. Why? Because it says Ish over here and Ish over here, he made a Hekish and that's it. So the Gemara says Yehuda says Akiva, they were colleagues, they were a first name basis. Akiva, Ben Kachu, Ben Kachata Osad Litna Sadin, you're in trouble. Because if it is Slavchod, HaTorah kisses, the Torah concealed it and you revealed it. And if it's not, so you mighty laz and oisit tzadik, Rabbi Akiva, you're in trouble regardless of what the truth is. So I told this person, that's Yeshiva Shalashin Hara. Rabbi Akiva was learning Torah L'Shem Shemayim B'midash HaTorah N'Drashis B'hem. He was the epitome of Avos Yisrael. And he was very yeshivish. He had the biggest yeshiva in history, 24,000 Talmidim. And yet, when he said an extra word, learning, an extra word, there's a din v'cheshbin. That has to be our guiding force in Shmiras HaLashin. V'chidil Tarni has to be the fire that burns in our neshama. To think before we talk and do the right thing, and hopefully the Rosh will give us our Bolotai and Messiah. So thank you all for coming. Have a wonderful day.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.